Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. And if you'd like to talk to us, that number, 1-877-917-7256, is good Monday through Thursday at 1 o'clock Mountain Standard Time.
Yes, yeah. Live at 1
live.
O'clock Mountain
Standard.
But
live.
It's good 24 hours a day.
Yep.
You can call anytime.
If you want to leave a message.
And leave a message, yes.
Yes, that's right. Or you can go to freedomstreet.org. Or you can go to barbara@freedomstreet.org.
And
or
type
Kim,
out an email.
Kimberly.
Yes,
right.
For emails.
Kimberly@freedomstreet.org.
Yes.
Or some of you are going hello@freedomstreet.org.
And some of you actually write us letters. We've received so many wonderful Christmas cards and prayer requests, but a lot of praise reports. And
yes,
we are rejoicing with you, praying over you.
That's
believing
right.
That this season will bring you a greater revelation of Jesus in
Amen.
Your life and in the lives of your families.
Amen. If you would like to get a 2026 calendar for free, you can donate to Call to Freedom during the month of December and either go to freedomstreet.org to donate, or you can donate by mail. But it needs to be postmarked in December, okay? That's the one thing I need to tell you. So you send a check or money order, or you do it online to Call to Freedom, and you will receive a calendar in January. And remembering that Jesus' destiny was the cross, friend. His purpose was love. His reason was you. It's you and me. That's why he came. Thank God for his son, his gift too wonderful for words. May the blessings of your day be wonderful reminders of all that Jesus has given. And that's what I want to remember, Kimberly, more than anything else.
Oh, I'm blown away at the questions we all have as human beings. I've heard so many people wonder why they had to be born. You know, I've heard that question over and over. I've heard it from younger generations and older ones. I never asked to be born. But Jesus did. He asked to be born. He wanted to be born. He wanted to be born so that he would die for us.
Yes.
And we don't have to fear now. Death no longer has any kind of fear or sting to us because of what he accomplished. I'm amazed. I'm blown away.
That's right. Amen. Well, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Kimberly and I have been in the book of Revelation, and that verse is from Revelation 11, verse 15. We're going to go today. We've been talking about the four horsemen. If you'd like to go to previous programs at freedomstreet.org and click on resources and then go to radio shows, you can listen to any of those shows. They're all titled. And we're going to go to first chapter 19 and then end it in 22 today in the program, hopefully.
Well, yeah, and I know that's not a very chronological way of taking us through Revelation, but the whole point of us talking about Revelation has been to calm the fears. Because why should we be afraid when Jesus has accomplished so much? And when he told us that he leaves us his peace, and when he told us that he holds the keys to the realm of death, to Hades. He holds the keys, so he can go in anytime he wants to. And he, in Ephesians 4, tells us that he preaches to the captives there and takes them captive for himself. That's exciting. That's full of hope, not fear. So we've just been talking through some of Revelation and some of the passages that have been maybe daunting is a good word for it. Daunting to those of us that have read them for many years and looking at them with a little bit different view, different perspective.
Yes. And maybe not the traditional, maybe combining both the traditional that you're used to and also this new illustration of the spiritual realm that God wants to introduce us into. We're so physically bound, and God knows that. We live in a physical world, but he wants us to get acquainted with the spiritual realm. So we're going to read a little bit about, they're praising God and honoring him. And in Revelation 19, verse 5, it starts with, or verse 6, excuse me. After that, I heard what sounded like the shout of a vast throng, like the boom of many pounding waves, and like the roar of terrific and mighty peals of thunder, exclaiming, "Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! For now the Lord our God, the omnipotent, the all-ruler, reigns." So all these pounding waves, Kimberly, and the roar, that is a symbol of the people that are going to be praising God, praising him and honoring him and bowing down to him.
Yes. I'm kind of surprised you jumped right into the middle of the chapter, because we had such a good discussion about the beginning of it, where it's hallelujah, salvation and glory and power to our God. All his judgments are right and true, for he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality. He has avenged on her the blood of his loving servants. And again, they shouted, hallelujah, the smoke from her destruction goes up forever and ever. This is one of those daunting passages that we were talking about earlier today, and how our flesh is always an obstacle. It is always taking us on detours with distractions. Our mind and our thoughts, you know, the moment we sit down to worship or to pray and spend time in the Word or in prayer with the Lord, so often our thoughts just go running off in another direction.
They do.
And that is what I would call the prostitute, the one that is just constantly leaving her lover's side, her beloved side. And our beloved is Jesus that we're talking about.
And we're talking about getting rid of the flesh, that which has kept us from having true intimacy with Jesus Christ. And some of you might say, well, I'm good. I'm a good moral person. Yes, you may be. But when you put you and me up against God, who is perfect, there is so much that he has to get rid of in us.
There is no one holy, not one.
No, not one. But he wants us to be holy as him. Now, we are holy. We are holy now in Jesus Christ. We are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. But he wants us to realize that if we don't get rid of all the anger and hate and defilement and perversion
and fear.
Fear.
You know, we think of those who are fearful as those that we should pity, that we should come alongside and help. But God calls that a sin. God calls fear and cowardice a sin.
Yes.
And he does not want us to have that in us. So, and pride. Yeah. Self-pity.
Yep. A lot of them. Yes. A whole list of them.
And so here's more rejoicing. Amen. Hallelujah. In verse 5, a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you, his loving servants, and all who reverence and honor him, those who are lowly and those who are great."
Oh, praise God.
A lot of rejoicing going on here.
Yes, so much. And we're going to be a very big part of that, his people. And in verse 7, it says, "Let us rejoice and shout for joy. Let us celebrate and ascribe to him glory and honor. For the marriage of the Lamb at last has come, and his bride has prepared herself." Kimberly, the bride is dressed in absolutely dazzling white fine linen, and that signifies and represents the just and godly living that we do here on this earth. It's going to be a gorgeous, beautiful time. And then the angel said to me, write this down, "Blessed, happy to be envied are those who are summoned or invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, these are the true words of God. So we're going to have a, you talk about a good Thanksgiving dinner or a good Christmas dinner.
A feast.
For sure. We're going to have a feast.
Yes. And this says, blessed are all those who are invited to feast. All are invited. All are invited to the feast. We don't know who may reject that invitation. And if they reject the invitation, we don't know what their end will be. And that's what we've been talking about all these days in Revelation. There's been this tendency to be so sure of ourselves. And when we have this self-assurance and we feel like we've been educated, we've listened to, you know, prophetic sermons and read prophetic books and attended prophetic seminars, and we think that we've got this knowledge, we can become very self-assured. But again, that's another one of the sins. It's not allowed. It's not going to be allowed in heaven, the self-assurance. Mm-hmm. What is allowed is love, compassion, mercy, kindness. We're not the ones who are to judge. Judge not unless you be judged. Mm-hmm. We're not the ones to make the judgment call on what's going to happen to someone else's eternal life. That's God's call alone.
Yes.
Now, we know there will be those who do reject him. It says there will be those who reject
him.
Yes. But we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to be afraid of what we're hearing and reading in Revelation, the lake of fire that's there. We don't have to be afraid that that might include our sons and daughters or our parents or our siblings.
We don't have to judge, Kimberly.
No.
That's not our place.
No.
So you just love, like Kimberly said, you just continue to love, and God will bring you either out of a situation that's pretty sensitive and maybe a little rough. If you have relatives, you know, that don't know the Lord Jesus, you can love those relatives and distract all the strife that's there or the confrontations. That love can permeate through the darkness, because Kimberly, it says that in John 1, the darkness cannot overpower that light of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Cannot. So praise God.
That's right. I love how you were talking about how the bride has made herself ready. I believe that she's made herself ready and then is dressed in the fine linen, shining bright and clear. It's been given to her to wear. It represents purity and the righteous deeds of the holy believers. That doesn't mean that we've learned how to do everything perfectly.
No, no.
That means that we've learned to love and to trust and to have faith that he has written a perfect story. And that story will be beautiful. So we wrap ourselves in that. Mm-hmm. And the bride, you woke up thinking of Revelation 19. Did you have more you want?
Yes.
Go with that, because I woke up thinking of Revelation 22.
I think we're going to get both in here today.
Okay, wonderful.
So in verse 11, and this is one of my favorite, because here comes Jesus. We can't read Revelation without thinking about Jesus and what he did. So after that, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse appeared. The one who was riding is called faithful, loyal, incorruptible, steady, and true. And he passes judgment and wages war in righteousness. And that's holiness, justice, and uprightness. And I am reading from the Amplified. I love all her adjectives. And verse 12 says, his eyes blaze like a flame of fire, and on his head were many kingly crowns or diadems, as the King James Version says. And he has a title, a name inscribed, which he alone knows or can understand. He is dressed in a robe dyed by dipping in blood, his own blood, my friends. And the title by which he is called is the Word of God. Now, you don't see just a word sitting there, a book of some kind, and, well, that's Jesus. No, that is a spiritual metaphor of what the Son of God is. And God is filling the whole word that we know, the Bible, with Jesus. That's why Jesus is called the Word of God.
Yes.
And so, Kimberly, we see a lot of these metaphors in the Word of God. We don't take them as tangible, concrete things. We take them in the Spirit, because, first of all, we are spirits. Mm-hmm. And God knows we are physical. We have to live in a physical body. We're on this physical earth. But he wants us to know the most important thing is seeing these things in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're doing two different views. Now, verse 14 says, the troops of heaven clothed in fine linen, dazzling and clean, followed him on white horses. That's us. I'm going to learn to ride. From his mouth goes forth a sharp sword with which he can strike the nations. He will shepherd and control them with a staff. He will tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath and indignation of God, the All-Ruler, the Almighty, the Omnipotent. And on his garment or robe and on his thigh, he has a name inscribed, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, you just read a lot right there.
Yes.
And I'm just going to break in for a moment and say, you know, some of this, again, it's daunting, scary. You've got a sharp sword coming from his mouth to conquer nations, trampling out wine in the winepress of the wrath of God. And so we just want to talk about that for just
a
moment.
We're with him. He's our leader.
Right. But
yeah.
But you know how people have viewed this for many years, that they've had some fear of this because they don't know who might have been left behind, who of their loved ones, you know, which of my sons or daughters or my parents or my siblings, those, my mate even that I've been praying for all these years, you know, it, and we don't have to be afraid, because let's look at this for just a moment. When we see in verse 15, a sharp sword came from Jesus' mouth with which to conquer the nations, and he will shepherd them. Mm-hmm. He's conquering and shepherding. And that's what he does with each one of us. He conquers our heart, and then he shepherds us.
Yes.
And he leads us in the new ways, the new creation ways. Mm-hmm. So our old creation life is conquered. It says he will...
I love the view of the wine press that you give about the pressing of the grapes.
Yeah, do you want to?
Yes. No, you go ahead.
About... So he will trample out the wine in the wine press of the wrath of God. Don't you know that I get angry with myself and I get frustrated with myself when I find that I am not on the same, I'm not on the same wavelength with the Spirit. When Holy Spirit is whispering to me kindness, patience, and I'm not feeling very patient. And at the end of the day, I'll be kind of frustrated and say, okay, hold on. I need the patience of the Holy Spirit, and I'm human. And I don't have that kind of patience. But my humanity is the grape. His patience is the wine. And I want him to produce that wine in me. So trample out whatever you need to trample out on my grapes of impatience until the wine of patience flows.
Yes.
And that is my prayer for myself and for everyone else. We don't have to be afraid of this wine press of the wrath of God. Mm-hmm. That's his passion that wants to make us more like him. And every virtue, not just patience, but peace and kindness and gentleness, generosity.
It's the fruit of Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Absolutely. Oh, this is so good.
Yeah,
and his name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you know that when you serve him. I want to also interject that in John 10, he says, my sheep know my voice and they follow. And so I know that as you hear his voice, and you go to maybe writing a note to someone you haven't written to for a while, but he's told you to do that, or you've called someone, or you've asked someone to go out to lunch, something like that, maybe you haven't done for a while. God just loves to do things like that. Gather the special people together that love the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So can I flip from Revelation 19? When we're thinking about the grapes of our flesh that need to be crushed out so that we have a new wine of the Spirit and the new creation life, in Revelation 21, verse 7, the conquering ones will inherit these gifts from me. I will continue to be their God, and they will continue being children for me. As for the cowardly, the fearful, the doubters, the faithless, the despicable, the murderers. Listen to this. It's all being grouped into murdering, perverts, sorcerers, idolaters, deceivers. That's grouped in with lying, with being afraid.
And so, see, I took that as actual people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've lied all your life. This is your punishment. Or you have been perverse all your life. This is your punishment. How about looking at a different view here?
Right.
Kimberly, explain.
All the different times that I myself have been afraid, that I've doubted, that I've perverted something, that I have put something or someone else first besides God. That's idolatry.
It sure is.
And deceiving, lying. I've done it. I've done it all. All of this will find their place in the lake of fire. You know, I'm not afraid of that lake of fire.
No.
I want my flesh part of me to be burned in that.
That's
the grapes part of me to be crushed. I want that.
That's
we want that.
Yes.
And then when we get to Revelation 22, verse 17. Well, let me start in 16. I, Jesus, sent my angel to you to give you this testimony, to share with the congregations. I am the bright morning star, both David's spiritual root and his physical descendant's root.
Yes, yes.
Come, says the Holy Spirit, and the bride in divine duet. Come. Come, come everyone. Come those who are unfaithful. Come those who are fearful. Come, let everyone gripped with spiritual thirst say, come. So as we become more like him, we are able to say to anyone and everyone, come.
Yes.
We're inviting you to know our Lord, to know his joy and know his peace. We have a really wonderful song that we want to share with you today.
It's about being unfaithful. It's about being fearful. But come, all of those, and God will change you. Here it is.
Come, you unfaithful. Come, all you unworthy. Oh, come. With nothing to offer him. Come you unrighteous, come you undeserving. Rejoice, he came for you. Rejoice, he came for you. Rejoice, he the strength you bring. Rejoice, he came for you. Rejoice, he came for you. Rejoice, he came for you. Christ, the
And when you're feeling so weak, so torn down, his strength will come into you as you ask him. His strength is made perfect in your weakness, and you can celebrate in that weakness, Kimberly.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. We don't have to be afraid of that weakness. No. In this realm, it looks weak, but when we lean on him, his joy, his strength is perfected in our weakness, and we can consider it all joy.
That's right.
When we call him worthy and we join the angels in their worship and say, worthy, worthy is the Lamb, worthy are you, Jesus, to receive all praise, all honor, all glory, we're saying worth it. Worth it. You're yes. worth it.
Yes.
I might feel weak, but you're worth it.
Yes. So you go ahead and eat the fat and drink the sweet this week. Just have a great time.
Yes.
God rejoices with you. And then you're sharing with others. Oh, do not grieve, my friend, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.
That's
what a
right.
wonderful thing to be able to speak of Jesus on the air.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, for Crawford Broadcasting,
yes.
Crawford Media, yes.
And we won't be with you live tomorrow on Christmas Day, but we bless your gathering with your mm-hmm. family, your mm-hmm. friends, your coworkers, whoever you're getting with. And if you're alone, know that you're not ever
you're
really
alone.
Mm-hmm. And we just bless that time to be full of joy, full of peace, and full of celebration.
Yes. So we're saying for to boy almost the end of 2025, take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado 80237, or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.